To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now you heard that Christmas prophecy just a few moments ago in worship tonight. You've heard that Christmas prophecy probably every Christmas season that you've been coming to church. That Christmas prophecy, Isaiah 9:6, those words have been in a lot of the Christmas cards that you've received and sent. So this year, as we lead up to Christmas, which is one of the functions of Advent, as we lead up to Christmas, we're just going to stop and take a look at three of the five prophetic names given to the Christ child by Isaiah. And tonight, it's the first one on the list. He will be called Wonderful, which makes me think of a Christmas song that you hear this time of year, but not on the religious station. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And I gotta say, not even a love-hate relationship with that song. It's kind of more like a hate relationship. And I'll tell you why. It's my fault. Because those words, as December rolls around, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And they mock me. And I think about all of the stress that I put in my life as December rolls around. You know, the schedules that need to be made and kept, and all of the duties that you have to perform, and all of the preparations that have to be made, and all of this self-induced stress, because maybe we're not, I hope you can identify with me on this, maybe we're not looking at things the right way, and then, oh, what's so wonderful about it? You know, the most wonderful time of the year. That's why it's good to hear Isaiah in the Bible say, it is a wonderful time of year. And the reason it's the most wonderful time of year is because the Wonderful One is here. The Wonderful One. He has come to us and he's born to us and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And you know, that's saying a lot for Isaiah to call him Wonderful, to use that name. Let me explain. Most English versions of the Bible put the first two names given to the Christ child in Isaiah 9:6, they smush them together. And instead of putting a comma between them, they say, to us a son is born, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Like, wonderful is an adjective, you know, like, she's a wonderful person, I had a wonderful time, it's the most wonderful time of the year. When in fact, that's not what Isaiah meant. He was not using an adjective to describe the Christ child. He's saying, this Christ child that will be born to us, this child that will be born to us from his perspective in history 700 years from now, his name is Wonderful. That's who he is. And that's saying a lot, because when that word is used for God in the Old Testament, well, that's just it. it's normally used for God. And it's especially used for God when we are reading those Old Testament stories of how he is delivering his people, like delivering his people from bondage in Egypt and leading them through the wilderness and taking them into the promised land and dividing the sea so that they could pass through quickly, and feeding them with manna and quail in the wilderness, and then just water coming from a rock so that they could have water to drink, and then finally delivering them into the promised land. That wonderful God, God of wonders, is this child. You see what a powerful assertion Isaiah is making. That wonderful God is this child, and this child is God. Wow. The God of wonder in our flesh and blood. Friend, do not be scandalized by this Advent truth. Many people are. Well, God would never operate that way. That's not how he would do it. God would, it's like beneath him. He wouldn't do something like that, like come down to us and be a human being. Instead, it should be, we human beings should be becoming more godlike and then somehow elevating ourselves to him. That's the way God would do it. But is not this a wonder of our wonderful God? He takes on our flesh and blood. He comes to us because we could not come to him. The wonderful one does this wonderful thing. He joins himself to us. And he does it not just for a time, not just for a season, but for all eternity. As he took his spiritual journey to Bethlehem to kneel at the manger, just like we do every Christmas season, Martin Luther was led to write about this verse in Isaiah, these words: "What is more wonderful than this? God and man are one person. That there is one Son, both of God and of Mary. Who will ever comprehend this mystery? That God is a man, that the creature is the creator, and the creator is a creature. This mystery is ever wonderful. The very angels desire to look into it, and yet with all their gazing, they will never be finished." And friend, please know this. The wonderful one did not stop with that wonderful thing at the manger. The wonderful life that he took up at Bethlehem, he laid down at Calvary. And the wonderful life that he laid down at Calvary, he took it up again when he rose from the dead. And why? That he may do with you what the God of wonder, the wonderful God, always does: lead his people through the wilderness. And he takes us through this life, and he nourishes us with his word and with his sacrament and with so many blessings, and he keeps us in the one true faith. And ultimately, he takes us over the Jordan and into the promised land. Is not this a wonder? And so, it is the most wonderful time of the year. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and his name is Wonderful. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.